The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
An architectural nightmare. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
Well, I went to Breakfast Club again this week, and we talked a little bit about it before. It's this essentially like old LA tradition that started in the 1920 or 21, where a bunch of white guys, studio executives, Will Rogers, they were like, yeah, just a lot of like high profile dudes would go have breakfast and then ride up into Griffith Park. And it still is happening to this day at this place off of Los Feliz Boulevard.
It's like 7 a.m., right?
Yeah, it's 7 a.m., bright and early.
So you have to be pretty dedicated, and it's got to be pretty good for you to get up that early to go.
Yeah, and it is. It really delivers.
What if there was no breakfast?
I mean, it doesn't matter. It's so... Okay. It's like you say the Pledge of Allegiance, you sing songs with people, you go and hang out, and then there's a lecture at the end of everyone. So it's like you go there and it feels like you are in a different place. It feels like you're in like middle school again, but like adult middle school with other adults of various ages. It's very interesting. And yes, there is breakfast too. A lot of the times there's like a French toast thing, a lot of eggs happening. There's oatmeal, there's coffee, everything you need. Oh. I love it. It's $15 if you're not a member. You can become a member too.
Are you going to become one?
I think I am, but I think I'd also feel pressure to become a member and like go all the time. And it's so early too. You know, like I'm getting up at 6:30-ish to get there by 7. It's very close to my apartment though, but it's very cool. And I want to plug it because it's awesome. But they had a lecturer today, Wednesday, when we recorded this, who was talking about the Frank Lloyd Wright houses in LA, which are all incredibly interesting. We covered Frank Lloyd Wright Jr.'s house where the Black Dahlia died a couple episodes ago. We haven't really covered any of his houses here, but it reminded me of a house around where I went to college at Madison called Taliesin, which is gorgeous. In fact, I dated a guy who was a tour guide there. So I've been there a couple times. Did some fooling around in the bushes of Taliesin.
You gave him a tour as well?
Exactly. A tour. Yeah, it was an emotional nightmare tour.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was great. But Taliesin is this house. It's in Spring Green, Wisconsin. It is beautiful, picturesque, and the home of the darkest point in Frank Lloyd Wright's career and many deaths.
So. I thought it was going to be like, it was beautiful, it was nice, and that's it.
It's just a nice house. Closed. Yeah. I had a lovely time on Wednesday, and that is enough.
Yeah. Can't you just be happy with that? No, it's going to.
Yeah. Taliesin is incredible. We're going to get into the history of that, but how are you doing today?
I'm not super familiar with, like, I am kind of culturally, and I know I've seen, like, what's a craftsman home? Like, I'm into, you know, I'm definitely into, like, mid-century architecture.
Well, we're white people in Los Angeles.
I like space age. Mm-hmm. Like, so I appreciate it, but I don't really know a lot of the fundamentals. Like, I don't know. I'm sure I've seen a Frank Lloyd Wright house, but mm-hmm. I don't remember like being like, oh, that's a Frank yeah. Lloyd Wright house.
Yeah. I also feel like my education in like architecturally speaking was really light too. And when I lived in Chicago, it became much better because Chicago's architecturally obsessed. But I wish I knew more. And I feel like being in LA too, and we're recording this right now in Angelino Heights, which is crazy architecturally speaking. There's old Victorians, there's craftsmen, there's Eastlake homes, there's all these different types of styles here up on this little hill next to downtown LA. So I got a little more into it then.
What do you know? I mean, is there like a area that has a lot of Frank Lloyd Wright homes predominantly, or is it just kind of all over?
I mean, mostly in, he did stuff everywhere. He did the Tokyo Hotel. He's been, you know, West Coast, East Coast, but he is really, and I think this is why, which is also interesting why I don't know as much about it, but he lived in a suburb of Chicago for a lot of his life. So there's so many places in Wisconsin and in Illinois, in Ohio. He's a very Midwestern architect. But he was out in LA for a long time too. He's done stuff in New York, but it's really, when you think of a Frank Lloyd Wright house, you think of a private residence that is kind of like one story ranch style in the Midwest, in rural Midwest, and kind of everything fits together. Like he designed every piece of furniture. Like everything is like, as is, you live, it's almost like you don't like, you live in Frank Lloyd Wright's house.
You don't get.
He didn't design it for you.
You're not bringing in some like Home Goods or TJ Maxx paintings.
No, you're not. You're not bringing in an IKEA comforter.
No,
into his house. So like the house is like a larger than life, historic relic of his, and people just live there, kind of a thing. Okay. So it's very, they're all very ornate. They all really work with the landscape around them. Taliesin's a good example of that, but they're pretty incredible. Yeah, the ones out here, too, you can tour. Maybe we'll do one of the ones out here at some point. But
yeah, I wanted to do, that's why I was asking. I always wanted to, you know, just so I can put together, like, oh, okay, I know what this is, but I couldn't make the connection.
Yeah, I mean, he did the one Barnsdall Park. I always say that
wrong. Which I'm familiar by name.
Yeah, he did a house, that's probably the closest one to us now, but there's some in Pasadena and out a little bit further. So they're everywhere. I highly recommend it. But we're going to talk about Taliesin, which, again, they're all beautiful. This one is disturbingly dark. So it is very close to Spring Green, Wisconsin. I'm from Milwaukee, which is about 2 hours away, and it's maybe 30 minutes from Madison, the capital of Wisconsin. So it's in the middle of nowhere, and it was developed on land that his Frank Lloyd Wright's mom originally owned, or her family owned. So he built it to make kind of be an homage to that, to have a space outside of, he lived in Oak Park, Illinois at that point. Which is weird to have like a guest. It's like, I live in a suburb of Illinois. I'm going to have a vacation spot in a suburb of Wisconsin kind of a thing.
Yeah. It's not very,
it's like, cool, I guess. It's like, I live down the block. I'm going to create a house to vacation in down the block.
Yeah.
So
it's like a staycation.
Yeah.
But you're actually going somewhere. It's just not very far.
House. Yeah, exactly. So he designed the structure 2 years after leaving his first wife and six children in Oak Park, Illinois. He met his mistress, Martha Mama Borthwick, sexy nickname. And she was a Michigan-born translator. And they had this like whirlwind relationship. He met her through his wife. They were at a dinner party and she introduced her as a potential client. And actually he did design a house for her and her old family.
That's his way in. He's like, right? Let me design a house for you.
So many architects do that. Architects like, man, they get around because they're like, I'm this innovative house designer.
I have a vision.
You need a house.
Yeah.
Can I come in your house?
Yeah. Ooh.
How about that?
Yeah.
But yeah, and it's like how architects work sometimes. They just, and especially Frank Lloyd Wright, him and his son and his competitors, they would like fuck a lot of the wives whose houses they were designing. It was just kind of what happened. So they had this crazy whirlwind romance open, like they were like together kind of. They went to Europe together too, separately, but then like reconvened and like had this insane courtship. They left their families and went to Wisconsin together to live in this like love nest dream house. And also Frank Lloyd Wright was a really, really big piece of shit. Like he was great and a genius and all of that, but he was unabashedly arrogant about pretty much everything.
Well, it's three names.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
exactly. Know. Three white guy names all together. Yeah. Like, what else? You put a Blake on the end of that and you're like...
You know he was like, oh yeah? My name is Frank Lloyd Wright, not Frank Lloyd Wrong. That would be my comeback.
I want two more of these for the duration of the podcast. That's your first one.
He's my first one.
Exactly. So I just want to give you two quotes of him that characterize who Frank Lloyd Wright was. So here's what he thought about standard conventions and the outside world looked at his relationship. He thought, quote, two women were necessary for a man of artistic mind, one to be the mother of his children and the other to be his mental companion, his inspiration, and his soulmate. He told that to a reporter. Okay. To another reporter, he said, laws and rules are made for the average. The ordinary man cannot live without rules to guide his conduct. It is infinitely more difficult to live without rules, but that is what is really honest, sincere, and the thinking man is compelled to do. So, you know, just probably like really easy to get along with, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. And his reputation, and this is the thing about his homes in LA, his reputation had preceded him. He could do a lot in the Midwest because he was like a god there. But in LA, people were like, he had a little more difficulty out here, which is what the lecturer at the Breakfast Club primarily talked about. So let's get back to Taliesin. So the design of the original building was really prairie school, like I talked about. Like it's very flat. There's a lot of like different planes and levels. It uses limestone that's consistent with like a lot of the mineral deposits in Wisconsin. It was completed in 1911 and called Taliesin, which is a nod to Wright's Welsh history, which I don't know what that means in Welsh or what anything about Welsh culture, but that's a thing. Anyway, so it was named that. And now I want to introduce you to a guy that he staffed once the house was done. His name was Julian Carleton. He came to Taliesin in June 1914. He was 30. He was from Barbados, and he had worked for a prominent Chicago caterer. So he was hired to be the cook for the house. Him and his wife Gertrude were hired by Wright, and they would cook, they would serve food, they would clean up. And it was pretty okay. Like he had this like wonderful house, him and his not wife, just his mistress, because actually his first wife, Catherine, wouldn't grant him a divorce for like 10 years after that. If I were her, I'd clamor for everything I deserved in my 15-year-long marriage. Anyway, so they were in this house, they staffed it up, things were fine. But on August 15th, 1914, Wright was away attending to the construction of Midway Gardens in Chicago and got a terrible message. It said simply, Taliesin destroyed by fire. And that was it. He was spared any details of it. Message out of the blue, freaking out a little bit.
It was like, destroyed by fire. Can we move on?
Yeah.
Like,
let's, and next,
yeah.
anything else, get over it.
Yeah.
Like, and then it said get over it quickly at the bottom.
How long am I going to talk about
asterisk,
this?
Asterisk. So back at the house, Mama, his mistress, was staying there with her two children, Martha 8 and John 12. They lived with their father but had come to Wisconsin for a summer visit. Also, there were a few workers there, carpenter Billy Weston, who was 35, his 13-year-old son, Ernest, two draftsmen, Emil Braudel and Herbert Fritz in their 20s, a gardener, David Lindblom, in his 50s, and a laborer, Thomas Brunker, who was 66. So, let me set the scene. Lunchtime. Taliesin. Mama and her children settled into the dining area. Carlton served them soup. I don't know what kind of soup, so don't even ask. As they lifted their spoons to their mouths, he came up behind Mama and split her skull with a hatchet. He quickly did the same with her son. Martha, the youngest daughter, ran, but the killer soon caught her and delivered four blows to her skull, and she died. In another dining area on the other side of the house, the five men and the boy were preparing for their midday meal. As he had earlier, Carlton served the soup and then stepped outside the door. One survivor, Fritz, later said that he noticed something flowing under the screen door from the court. We thought it was nothing but soap suds spilled outside. The liquid ran under my chair and I noticed the odor of gasoline. A moment later, Fritz recalled a streak of flame shot under my chair. In seconds, the room and its occupants were on fire. So what he did was Carlton leaked gasoline as they were eating soup. Bolted the door and then lit everything on fire. And then the men, their clothes now burning, tried to get out through the windows or by battering down the door. Once they had gotten through the door, Carlton met them there with an axe. Burdell was axed and died. Ernest Weston, Brunker, and Lindblom held on for a few days after getting after escaping and then getting hit in the head with the axe. Fritz survived by crashing through a window and rolling down an embankment towards a creek. So Wright's home went up in flames, and the bodies of his partner, her children, and all of the workers, except for one, perished in the flames. And then, but not by the flames, because they were also killed.
No wonder before. You always wanted to have two women. Just, right? Just one.
You gotta have a couple. You gotta have,
yeah, spare. Oof. Yes, right?
Yeah. Only the architect's studio and a couple agricultural buildings survived the fire. So it was totally burned down to the ground. Which is like, talk about like a modern nightmare story of like someone waiting outside, you're burning to death. How do you want to die? Do you want to go being burned to death? Do you want to go down this like weird ridge and see if you don't break your neck? Or do you want to get killed by an axe to the blow to the back of your head? Pick. I don't know.
Well, can I pick two?
You can get one and a half. So Carlton at that point he swallowed hypochloric acid. They actually don't know exactly what kind of acid, something he swallowed. By the time searchers found him, because Fritz, who had survived the fall, went to get help, and people immediately came back to the home. So he found him hiding in a furnace, still clutching the bloody hatchet. Surrounded by a crowd intent on lynching, he croaked out a cryptic message: they'd better let me live if they expect to find out something. But he'd also taken acid, like, to kill himself, I assume? So he was just, like, obviously not in his right mind. So then it's like, what happened, you know? There was no trial. Carlton lives for only 7.5 more weeks without uttering a meaningful word about the motive behind his rampage. Gertrude Carlton said her husband had become increasingly paranoid in the weeks prior to the attack and kept that hatchet next to his bed in case of emergencies. So it's like, I don't tell somebody. If someone seems like they're losing their mind, go to somebody. But then, like, you think about the climate of what was happening there. And before we talk about theories, let's take a little break, shall we?
All right.
All right.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
And we're back.
Yeah, I want to. Can we a couple of emails and stuff?
Yeah,
just
I'd love
to
that.
Kind of, you know, just kind of to show that people do contact us. It's not really. It's mostly just to show that, like, there's some people that contact us. No, we get a decent amount of messages.
Sure.
I got one from Jennifer Bodie. She's, I'm a direct descendant of Waterman S. Bodie. From the Bodie ghost town.
Oh yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. His name was spelled incorrectly. The way my name is spelled is properly spelled B-O-D-E, not B-O-D-I-E, I guess.
Oh, interesting.
But I got that from, somebody was, I guess, I don't know where I got that information, but either somebody else did it, or there's just a couple of different, places that it comes from.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Thank you, but also, awesome. Like, yeah. Please correct us.
Yeah.
We beg of you.
And then, you know, I'm going to go to our Instagram, which is Ghost Town Pod.
Yes. Go there. Follow us, please. Yeah.
You can always send us a nice message if you want. I know, you know what? This is one that was really nice from Mrs. Dot Lons. You know Mrs. Lons?
Yeah.
I'll read it. It says, y'all are truly my favorite podcast. Please don't censor Rebecca.
Yes.
And Jason, you're amazing and gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Okay, man, it's not even.
Are you human?
Are you human? How is that possible? It's a crime.
Are you a sex robot? Because sent for the future.
Yeah. She's married, Jason.
Oh, yeah, Mrs. Lons. Okay. Well, Mr. Lons, you're very, very lucky. And Jason, you're amazing.
Your wife has excellent taste.
Just the way you are. I started last week and made it through all the episodes, and now I'm sad.
She fucking binged us. You know how great that feels? What was she snacking on, do you think, when she was listening to us? Cookies or cakes or fine, like a crinkle cut French fry?
I think she mixed it
up.
Yeah. I think she's like, she hit all the major food groups, like the Doritos, the M&M's.
Yeah, the Holy Trinity. Yeah. It's like the sweets and the savories and the tarts.
I also love the random ass tangents y'all go on.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
They're all tangents.
Let me tell you, if I could have a podcast strung together with tangents, I would.
They would. Let's see. I know that we have some other ones in here. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Now, Nugget of Turd just sends some GIFs. That's
a beautiful name.
Yeah. Trying to see. I'm going to see if I have any other ones here really quick. Let's see. Oh, wait. Okay. Here's one from KT Smiles 92. Mm-hmm. Love your show. You should look into Fairfield Hills in Connecticut. Oh my mom's God. Family is from the area, and my great uncle, who ended up working.
Yeah, my ex is from the area though too. So shut it.
Is it
just
really?
Kidding? Oh, yeah, no, I'm not kidding. Yeah. He's from there, but it's actually beautiful.
I worked in Danbury, Connecticut.
Oh, damn.
I don't know if Fairfield. I've heard of Fairfield. Fairfield. It's probably close by. Mm-hmm. Worked for Jim Henson, involved in the creation of Kermit and Big Bird, and grandfather actually visited to put on a puppet show for the patients there. At the time, my grandfather said he could hear the screams and yelling from outside the facility.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that's Fairfield Hills must be a town and a place?
Yeah, well, Fairfield, Connecticut.
I know Fairfield.
Yeah, the hills are what? The hills outside of it?
Yeah.
I don't know. All I think about is The Witch, that movie, because that was all Connecticut-based.
Get some weird ones here. Let's see. Hey, guys, I don't know if I've read this. I don't think I have. Hey, guys, this is from Juanma_Bermudez_. Hey guys, greetings from Costa Rica. I was thinking you can cover one of the most haunted places here in my country. It's called the San Antonio Duran. I don't know if I'm saying
San Antonio Duran?
Sanatorio Duran.
Oh, that sounds fucking creepy as hell.
And it was the first clinic for tuberculosis patients in America, I believe. It's a really interesting place located in the, the outskirts of a volcano.
That's awesome.
Thought it might be an interesting story. Jason, you're gorgeous. Okay, oh, is this even for real?
Okay.
I can't even type this anymore.
Is this even for real?
Then, finishes it off great. By the way, the episode on Black Metal is great. Loved it.
Yeah.
So we got, and you know, you can always message us, Ghost Town Pod.
Yeah, we'd love to do some of your suggestions.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, them. This is what we're using for information when we put bonus episodes on our Patreon.
Yeah, the bonies.
The bonies. That has been helping us. That your marketing. I stay away from marketing.
I love marketing. I'm very good at it. Well, what is the name of our podcast again?
Yeah, exactly. If you go to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, we two bonus episodes a month and some other random stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we use suggestions that people send in sometimes.
Yeah, and we love any feedback.
And any
bad,
feedback, yeah.
Good, sexy, especially sexy.
We saw most of the ones I got were
everyone
very...
Everyone is, like, in heat in those messages. Yeah, what's that about, Jason?
Like, I'm a podcast host, but also a human, and not just some
you're like,
object.
I'm not a piece of meat. Like you're not. Listen, just everybody relax. They don't even know you.
Yeah, they don't know. People that haven't met me don't realize I'm 6'2". The people that met me might know differently.
Yeah. Totally. Well, you heard it here, everybody. Calm down.
I'm
go
6'2".
Take a cold ass shower.
Yeah.
And stop imagining Jason that way.
Yeah. Do you want to go back to this crazy house?
Dalyessen?
Yeah. I call it the crazy house.
You call everything the crazy house.
I know.
The fucking crazy house?
If the Wi-Fi isn't good, it's a crazy house.
Exactly. I got lost in the crazy house. You mean McDonald's?
Well, yeah.
Like, crazy
it's a house of burgers.
It's a car. It's not a house.
Oh.
Anyway. Okay. So we talked about this horrible tragedy. Let's switch gears. We're getting back there.
Pivot, baby. Pivot.
Exactly. So, it was hard to say what made Carlton kill all of these people in this house randomly. A lot of people, okay, according to Meryl Seacrest's biography, Frank Lloyd Wright, a witness recalled Lindblom having said of Carlton, "If anyone around there ever did him any dirt, he would send him to hell in a minute." So volatile. There were rumors of workers possibly directing racial slurs at Carlton because he was an African man. And of a dispute within a few days earlier about saddling a horse. That may have been
also,
the
I think,
source.
You know, if there's mental illness, probably the attention and diagnosis to that at that time was probably
Of a cook servant who's an immigrant? No. They're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You're not human to me.
No totally. PPO.
No copays.
PPO.
No massage. Yeah. You don't get like a free acupuncture with your plan.
Do you get free massages? Can you get massages?
I get almost free acupuncture with my plan, which is crazy. They're like, birth control, not so fast.
Hold on.
Acupuncture, go for it. Yeah. As many as you want.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a little bit about my plan.
Political.
Which nobody cared about. Anyway, Carlton, no insurance plan. One of Taliesin's surviving workers said that Borthwick had told the Carltons that they were being let go. Borthwick was one of the workers that we talked about. So they may have been fired. The killer's wife confirmed that they were due to take a train back to Chicago that night after the soup was served. So that, you know, might have been impetus, like just all of the harnessed rage, racial slurs, injustices, and then finally a firing to kind of like top that. Other people tried to put the blame on Frank Lloyd Wright, hinting that the massacre was a murder for hire arranged by the architect to rid himself of an unwanted lover. Again, his reputation for romancing the wives of his clients and taking on relationships.
But he'd be willing to burn his own house down for it?
I don't know.
I mean, probably not,
because he's very arrogant and loves his own
house.
Sure,
yeah. So, I'm sure he's like, the house is more important than anyone that's in it. So.
Exactly. Still others said that it was divine retribution for the couple's sinful cohabitation.
Oh.
So, God?
Right from
Did
heaven?
God do
yeah,
this?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll never know. God?
Yeah.
Send us an Instagram message. Yeah. Weigh in. Make sure we get it right. So Carlton died of starvation about 7 weeks after all this happened. He never gave a motive. There's, again, evidence to suggest disputes with the workers, him being told he was terminated. Nobody knows. We still don't know to this day why this happened, but it did. Frank Lloyd Wright, at this point, though, was devastated. And he wanted to rebuild Taliesin in his mistress's honor. So he did that. He started building. It was called Taliesin II. Built it. But then in 1925, a lightning storm apparently ignited the wiring, sparking a conflagration. Anyway, that burned the house down. So that second version, which took years to complete, was burned down immediately after this lightning storm. Then he started to build Taliesin III. Like, keep going. We keep persisting. In 1927, financial problems caused a foreclosure on the building by the Bank of Wisconsin. Frank Lloyd Wright was great at building houses. He was not good at finishing houses or finishing them in a timely manner. So many of his houses were way over budget, way over completion. He ran into a lot of trouble in that way. And his own house is no exception. He couldn't really finance finishing it. He was able to reacquire the building with the financial help of friends and reoccupied it in 1928. Taliesin III was Wright's home for the rest of his life, although he would go to winter at Taliesin West in Scottsdale. Again, why would you name another house Taliesin? What are you doing, dude? Like,
so
what's
happening? He occupied the space where all that stuff happened.
Yeah, I mean, the space, yeah. I mean,
not the house, but I mean, that's, you know, this is like
a statement.
So, what can you tell, you know, it's like, oh,
exactly.
There's a lot went down here.
Exactly. But I think it's also speaks to his pride,
sure,
too. And it's like,
that
who would do that?
That
nobody
his creation
would do that.
Is above anything that may have
happened
there. Yeah,
like, exactly. Like, anything, it doesn't matter what would happen, his work is the most persistent thing, despite money, despite death, fire, whatever. So yeah, in 1937, he had Taliesin West in Arizona. I believe that still stands too. Wright left Taliesin.
That was like, kind of like
Jesus.
Yeah.
That was an alarm, so I can buy a voodoo candle online.
Well, it's on brand.
Exactly. Do you expect anything less? But we're wrapping it up here. Don't even worry about it. So Wright left Taliesin to the Frank Lloyd Wright Foundation, founded by him and his third wife in 1940 upon his death.
Her name was Taliesin.
Yeah, it was Taliesin.
Okay.
He named her.
Yeah.
Exactly. So in 1959, it was relinquished to be a historical relic. They renovated it to make it as grand as it used to be. And then basically they do tours there, and my I wouldn't say he's an ex. He's a guy that I hooked up with a bunch and probably dated pretty casually.
He remembers
that I met,
you.
That I met in community theater in Madison. Yeah. He worked there.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's occupied by former students of Wright and students of the School of Architecture at Taliesin. And it's still pretty vibrant, happening, beautiful place.
Yeah.
If you like murder and architecture.
And we do, right?
And we do.
Oh.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience. And they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.